from WKRC, Channel 12 in Cincinnati on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show, Richard Skinner. Richard, good morning. Thanks for joining us again here in Baltimore.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Off-season needs. Well, you spent a ton of dough. We know that. Keeping the band back together on offense. But going into the draft, the off-season needs were identified as what? And during the draft, how many were addressed?
Edge rusher, for sure. Guard, for sure. Linebacker was one that you felt like they were going to, they haven't done it yet, but are going to move on from Jermaine Pratt. And the one big elephant in the room that they didn't address was safety. I know a lot of my colleagues were mocking and talking defensive tackle. I just never saw that. They do need interior pass rush juice, and I'll address that here in a second. But they spent they re-signed B.J. Hill, their own. They signed T.J. Slayton as a free agent. They spent a second-round pick last year and a third-round pick last year on defensive tackle. If they were going to go tackle, it was going to probably be in their last pick in the sixth round. They opted to go running back instead. So people are wringing their hands a little bit of not addressing tackle. But, Al Golden, the new defensive coordinator, talked about first-round draft pick Shamar Stewart, who's an edge, can move inside on pass rush downs. He did it at Texas A&M. Joseph Osai, who they re-signed as a defensive end, has moved inside on pass rush downs. So I think they have a way to address that. But the big one to me is safety. They didn't get great performance from either Geno Stone or Jordan Battle last year, although Battle improved as the year went on. And behind them, they've got Tyson Anderson, who's never played a defensive snap in his 4 years in the league. He's been hurt a bunch. And they have Dejon Anthony, a seventh-round pick last year, who played all 11 defensive snaps. They don't have any other bodies with any experience behind them. I just can't imagine that he don't go get a veteran free agent because there's a handful of safeties out there on the marketplace. So they did do everything, in my opinion, other than address the safety position.
Richard, did you think that was the best pass rush, for them, pass rusher for them to take? I mean, the problem I had with Stewart was, he blew up the combine. I mean, he missed a lot of tackles and stuff, and his production over his career wasn't great.
Yeah, so I did a TV segment with as kind of an analyst on Friday, and the news host asked me the question, kind of the same question of, what did they see that others didn't? Now, he did have a first-round grade. I will give you this part.
I agree with that.
Yeah, if you put tape on, and I didn't tell you anything about his production, if you literally just put 3 minutes of tape on and go, watch this guy for 3 minutes and then tell me what you think, you'd go, wow. And then if I told you that guy only had 4.5 sacks in 37 college games, one of those against Bowling Green and a half of a sack against Sam Houston State, you'd go, what? So it's a weird – it is a true traits over production, and it is a boomer bust pick. I think there's going to be no in-between with this guy. He's either going to blossom into a pass rush star in the NFL or he is going to be a giant bust.
Yeah, that's the same thing I wrote at the bottom of my report, boomer bust. Now, hey, Richard, what is Al Golden going to do differently than this year defensively than they've done in the past?
It's a great question because we get on the field in a couple weeks, get a chance to see some things. They're not going to tip their hand. That's a great one. At the combine, when we talked to him, he talked about, hey, I'm a standard four-man front guy. I think you'll see the standard 4-2-5s that most teams deploy. I do think he's talked about occasionally taking one of the two linebackers on pass rush downs and putting him at the line of scrimmage and making it a five-man rush. I think you'll see him probably blitz a little more than Lou Anarumo, but most coordinators like to try to get home with four. That's easier said than done, especially when you're the Bengals and you only have one legit pass rusher on your roster in Trey Hendrickson at the moment. You probably have to provide some extra pressures. So I think he will play more man. And it's weird. They drafted a handful of man corners who did man coverage in college, and then Lou played a lot of zone. I'm not knocking Lou. I mean, he had worked, and he got hired pretty quickly after he got fired from here. But, again, they drafted man corners and then played zone. Well, I think Al's identified, I've got man corners. I'm going to go play man some more. And I think if you're going to play some more man, you will see some more blitzing.
What are they going to do with Hendrickson?
That's the other great question. They obviously, before the draft, right after free agency, said, if you can go find a trade partner, let us know. His camp said, we can, and we'll find it. We'll get you a first-round pick back. Well, no team was given a first-round pick back, and the Bengals said, we're not giving you away. And so now we're at this impasse with the extension where Trey has asked for a trade, and barring a trade, says he may not play. I don't believe that for a couple of reasons. One, he's not going to leave the $16 million he's going to make on the this year off the table. He's not going to play for nothing. I think the other part is at his age, I think he's going to have to show productivity this year if he wants to get paid on the free agent market next year and beyond. And then there is also the possibility of the extension, but I think now that they tried to seek the trade didn't happen. I understand why Trey Hendrickson thinks he deserves $32 to $35 million. He's every bit as good as Mack Crosby, if not better. I can't put him in the Myles Garrett category, but I can put him in the Max Crosby, Danielle Hunter category. Those guys got 35 mil. And if I'm him, I'm saying I deserve 35 mil. Well, they're not going to get there. And I'm not even sure they're going to get north of 30 mil anymore because the leverage point is gone. They said, go seek a trade. We'll let you do it. And they couldn't find a trade partner. So now where's the leverage for him? I think it's going to be an extension more close to the Bengals number or no extension at all. And then he's going to have to make the decision. Am I going to play or am I not? And I said last year, I wouldn't mind playing poker with this guy because it's pretty easy to call him bluff. He bluffed last year that he was going to retire if they didn't extend him. And they're like, we just extended you. And then he came back 2 weeks later and said, oh, I'm not going to retire. I was just saying, I don't know what I was thinking. I mean, I'll call your bluff again, I guess.
Now, Richard, how do you see the Bengals going into the season? I mean, they still have the ability to, you know, fix some other holes that they may have. But how do you see them? How do you see this football team in the North right now?
Yeah, I think they got a chance to be better at the guard position. You know, they signed a free agent, Lucas Patrick. They want to try Cody Ford there full time. He was kind of a jack of all trades, played all across the offensive line, and they drafted Dylan Fairchild, who's going to get the chance to win the left guard spot. More noted as a pass blocker than a run blocker, but this team throws the ball 40 plus times a game, so give me the pass blocker over the run blocker, I guess. It's a potent offense. They've made all their stars happy. They made Joe Burrow happy, and now Joe Burrow has to do things like he did last year. He was outstanding last year, and if they'd made the playoffs, I could make an easy argument that he could have been and should have been the most valuable player in the NFL. That offense is elite. Now, can the defense just rise up enough to bail them out? Because there were so many instances last year where, I mean, they had a stretch where they scored 99 points and lost three games. I mean, that seems impossible, right? That you scored 33
points. We saw two of them.
Lost.
Yeah. Yeah, they were awesome games around here.
Yeah, they were. That's a good point, yeah. Yeah, those were total shootouts. Yeah, I mean, think about that. What the Bengals scored against Baltimore and you come away with no wins, that just doesn't seem right.
Richard Skinner, WKRC at Cincinnati. Real quick for you, Richard. Zach Taylor, look, they missed the playoffs 2 years in a row, but winning records in both seasons. There's no hot seat talk there, or is it?
No, but I would say this. Listen, he got a chance to change his defensive coordinator, and you're not going to get a chance to do that again. So now the onus is kind of on you, right? He's built up the cachet because of the Super Bowl and the AFC Championship game. And, you know, some mitigating circumstances 2 years ago when Burrow got hurt. And then this past year was just a mess of close losses. They feel like, hey, we're a really good team that just couldn't win close games. And I think there's some truth to that. You know, if they miss the playoffs a third straight year, I would say next year would be a definitive hot seat year. I think you give him one more swing at it at that point. I think barring, you know, some catastrophic bad season with Burrow playing all 17 games and they go 5-12, then maybe we'll have a different discussion. Team's not going to go 5-12 if Joe Burrow plays 17 games. But, yeah, I think it gets warm after this year if they don't make the playoffs for sure.
Richard Skinner, WKRC in Cincinnati. Richard, appreciate your time as always. We'll catch up with you soon because schedule comes out in a couple of weeks. Then you got OTAs. Man, it never stops, that NFL, does it?
Yeah, and you know what? For some reason, I think we're going to come to Baltimore again on a Thursday night. It seems like it's becoming a tradition now.
Well, as long as someone doesn't get hurt, that's all that matters.
As long as it's not Christmas
or
Thursday.
Along Thanksgiving Thursday. We're cool with that. All right, Richard.
Good call.
We'll talk to you soon. Here's Richard Skinner, everyone. We'll come back and whip around what happened in the NBA and Stanley Cup playoffs a lot. What happened on this day historically a lot. It's the last day of April. The Wizard Walt Williams talks about the NBA playoffs and the job Buzz Williams has done so far replacing Kevin Willard. It's, let's see, April 30th, as we said. Tomorrow's May 1st. First, as we talk about the Orioles on this day, they stink.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport.
Every game.
Everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Yeah. Time for the Whip Around. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. We'll get back to the Orioles here and your phone calls as we get later into this hour. NBA playoffs last night. Something that we were just talking about off the air. Indiana, Milwaukee. Bucks, what, 13-0 start the game? They were up 17. They were up 7 with 30 seconds left. And they wound up losing because a gold medal winner and one of the great players in basketball did what great players do in crunch time.
Here we go. Halliburton. 5 seconds. 4 seconds.
Bucks were out of timeout, so they full court heave at the buzzer, did not succeed. 119-118. Tyrese Halliburton with the game-winning shot, 26 points, 5 boards, 9 assists, 3 steals. Giannis Antetokounmpo freak one off, 30-20 and 13. Indiana wins the series 4-1. But the story was John Halliburton after the game. Tyrese's dad getting onto the court. It was in Indiana, so I'm guessing security knows him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he probably runs his yapper a lot. You know, a lot of parents live vicariously through their kids. We get that. And everyone supports their children. But what he did crossed the line. On the floor, mocking, cussing at Giannis Antetokounmpo, one of the great players in the history of the game, who, by the way, had a massive game. And you're taunting him? He didn't make a basket. No. You didn't make a foul shot. You didn't get a rebound or a steal. You sat there and, you know, probably yelled and screamed and annoyed the piss out of the people sitting next to you for 48 minutes. He has since apologized, John Halliburton, via social media, of course. Tyrese had to address, hey, forget about your game-winning shot and coming back from 7 down with 30 seconds left in overtime. What about your dad? And Halliburton, Tyrese was like, he was wrong. Yeah. That was a cross. There's lines that get crossed in regards to we're all competitive in nature. Whatever you do, you checkers, you paint. I paint better than you. I'm a better landscaper than you, better bartender, whatever it is. But come on, man, pump the brakes.
Yeah.
And in the face of one of the best players in the league, and certainly the best player in that game last night.
And then you just lost, you know, you and then you're going to talk trash. To me, I thought Giannis,
the freak.
Giannis,
Giannis.
Yeah, Giannis.
He was a gangster, I believe.
Giannis, my bad. Giannis, I thought he handled it to the media awesome.
Well, you know, he took it with class and grace because he probably gets heckled a lot. But when you're literally on the court talking all this nonsense, I mean, win with a little dignity. It's only the first round, by the way. You still have two more rounds to go to accomplish the ultimate goal. And look, you know, you disrespected Giannis in a day and age where, you know, you can literally die for disrespecting someone. But I don't want to get on a political rant here for sure. Also in the NBA last night, Detroit beat the Knicks at Madison Square Garden 106-103 as Cade Cunningham, he went off 20, speaking of great players, 24-8-8. Thompson had 22. Knicks had 6 players to double figures, but their best player was standing on the sideline trying to get in when they were in the closing minutes of the game with the win. What's New York now? 0-5 in closing situations at the Garden. Goes back to Detroit, and this series has been razor thin in the margins. Something tells me we're going game 7. And will Stephen A. Smith walk around like he owns Madison Square Garden if he goes back there?
Well, I'm sure he will.
Like he did last year against Indiana, and they got spanked. Boston closes out Orlando, 120-89. Tatum at 35. Jaylen Brown at 23. Franz Wagner had 25. So Boston, 4-1 winners. In that one, Denver, they beat L.A., the Clippers, 131-115. That's been a razor-thin series till last night. Jamal Murray went off with 43. Joker had a triple-double. Kawhi Leonard missed a triple-double by a rebound. So the Nuggets lead 3-2 going back to L.A. Tonight, Golden State looks to close out the Rockets in Houston, up 3-1. Same with T-Wolves at the Lakers. Minnesota's up 3-1. Their Stanley Cup playoffs last night. Ottawa shuts out Toronto in Toronto. Maple Leafs had a chance to finish, and they got. Now it's 3-2 Maple Leafs going to Ottawa.
Yeah, and Bob, I mean, Ullmark, the goalie for Ottawa, was good last night. But, I mean, this has kind of been Toronto's M.O. is they get up, and then they choke. And everybody, and you know, you hear announcers talking about they're up 3-1. Well, you know, are they going to choke like Toronto always has? You know, against Toronto always was playing Boston, get up on Boston, and Boston come back and win the series. And right now, and that was in Toronto, which is crazy. You know, in Ottawa, they've won 2 in a row now. You know, so they'll be a tough out.
Carolina 5-4, 2 overtimes over the Devils, and they close out New Jersey in 5.
Yeah, and you know what? New Jersey fought their butts off, Bob. I mean, they had a lot of guys out injured, and they're up 4-0 in the second. And then Carolina scores four in the second. And then nobody scores again in the third or in the first overtime. You know, and then Aho scores in the overtime to end it. So now Carolina, if the Caps win tonight, Caps-Carolina series, I'm guessing will probably start Friday or Saturday.
Speaking of tough L's, how about the Wild losing in overtime 3-2 to Las Vegas? It looked like Minnesota in overtime, by the way. It looked like Minnesota was going to steal one.
Yeah,
and instead, they're down 3-2 in a must-win situation in Game 6.
Yeah, Minnesota's down 2-1 after two. Boldy scores early in the third to tie it 2-2 for Minnesota. Minnesota scores with like a minute 15 to go to take the lead, and looks like they're going back home with the ability to close it out. And the goal gets reviewed, and they say it's a good goal. But then Vegas, what they do is they challenge, and it was offsides. So then they go to overtime, and they win it in overtime. Vegas does.
Edmonton 3-1 over the Kings. Now the Oilers ahead in this one, 3-2.
Bob, and I said yesterday, the Kings, Bob, 31-6 at home, L.A. 31-6 at home, and they get beat 3-1. And now Edmonton's what, 2 in a row? Edmonton leads the series 3-2. Going back to Edmonton. I think the Kings are in, they've lost 3 in a row. Kings are in deep doo-doo, Bob.
And the Caps, as Vinny said tonight, looking to close out Montreal up 3-1.
They got to do it. They just got to play physical again, you know, and that's what they, you know, this is Montreal's shot. If the Caps can get up early, I think they can do it. They got to win the third period, and that's what's been the toughest part all year or all series long. The Caps won this last third period, and it was all Tom Wilson. Tom Wilson's been the MVP of this series just because of the physicality, and I think Caps close it out tonight, I believe.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Whip around real quick. Buzz Williams, Darius Adams, UConn decommit. Commits to Maryland yesterday. McDonald's All-American five-star recruit out of Indiana. Chose the Terps over Michigan State, Tennessee, among others. I saw Devin Booker comparisons to this kid. So he'll come in and play instantly. Remember, we were talking yesterday. Joe Lenardi had Maryland a 10 seed before this news broke. We'll have a Keith Cavanaugh from TerrapinTimes.com scouting report later in the show. This day in sports history, it is April 30th, 1976. Cap Center, Muhammad Ali beat Jimmy Young. 15-round unanimous decision. Jimmy Young got robbed. Watch it. You'll judge for yourself. 1971, Baltimore Civic Center. Oscar Robertson had 30 points, 9 boards as the Bucks beat the Baltimore Bullets 118-106 to sweep the NBA title 4-0. 97, Orioles beat the Twinkies at the Baggy Dome 12-3. 2023, Nolan, the good old days. In Detroit, 5-3 Orioles over the Tigers. Adam Frazier, Jorge Mateo went deep. Austin both got the win. Cano gets a save. And a year ago today against New York, the Yankees, that is. Orioles win 4-2. Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman, Brian McCann all had ribbies. Dean Kramer, he pitched 7 strong. He gave up the home run to Soto, who was kind of, remember me mugging him there. Webb gets the save. Orioles beat the Yankees 4-2. Oh, the good old days of just 12 months ago. We'll come back, talk NBA playoffs with the Wiz. Take your phone calls. News from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Part of our family here on The Fan, and of course part of the Maryland Radio Network, and played in the NBA and in the NBA playoffs. No less, he's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's the Wizard, Walt Williams. Walt, what's happening?
How you doing, my man?
I'm doing all right, Walt. Appreciate the time as always. And start with Terps. Darius Adams decommits from UConn, 5-star recruit, McDonald's All-American, commits to Maryland yesterday. Praise Buzz Williams because Buzz was buzzing around him like a bee, I guess. So he comes on in. Lenardi had Maryland already as a 10 seed before this news broke yesterday. So, Walt, as a Maryland alum, one of the great players to ever play for that program, your early impressions of Buzz Williams here.
Well, yeah, when you the way things worked out at the end of the season and the timing of it all with the portal, you know, having a short period of time there, you just thought to yourself that, you know, the upcoming season was going to be a transitional year for us, so expectations are really low. But then when you hire a guy like Buzz Williams, who has a great track record, wherever he's been, and you know, he turns program, he makes sure programs are successful. His players really love him, so you can see the result of that. He's been able to go in that portal and get some top notch players early on, and this right here is another example of that. And so, yeah, you just feel like there won't be a transitional year. We'll be able to just pick up the pieces and keep this thing moving. And so, yeah, you feel good about that as an alum. But at the same time, you just want to make sure that this is something that's going to have a good track record moving forward, and a long track record moving forward. So you want to look and see some Terps involved in the process or being around the program a lot more.
The Wizard, Walt Williams, let's move to the NBA playoffs. Well, at least kind of right now. John Halliburton after the game, a dramatic win for the Pacers coming from seven back, 30 seconds left in overtime. Tyrese gets the game-winning layup, and he was brilliant down the stretch. But he goes onto the floor, gets in Giannis's face, taunts him, turn into somewhat a bigger talking point, quite frankly, Walt, than Indiana winning the series in five. You're Walt Williams. Somebody comes up, parent or no, and starts mocking, taunting. What line was crossed, if there were multiple lines last night with that incident?
Well, I think that when you listen to Halliburton in his interview, when he got asked that question, you know, I thought he did a great job. And his reply, and understanding that, you know, there's no room for that in this game. He absolutely talked about his dad being wrong in that instant. You know, sometimes you're in the game, and not only the players, but, you know, fans, especially relatives, people who love you, they get caught up in the emotions, get caught up in the realm of the game. But at the end of the day, there's no excuse for that. He has to stand and see, he has to celebrate with his son. There's no reason to come out there and bring it to an extent where you're talking to other players and things like that.
Now, Walt, there's been a narrative here with Doc Rivers that he can't win the big one. He does have an NBA championship ring back with Boston. Granted, it was way back when with three Hall of Famers kind of riding shotgun with him. But is the criticism of Doc as a coach fair or unfair?
Well, yeah, I think it is fair. You know, hey, just like you just said, he won a championship, but as you look at that team and on paper, they should have won the championship. So I don't know if you get a feather in your cap for that, unfortunately. I mean, hey, at the end of the day, he has a championship. But I think to the masses, it is a true. But at the end of the day, because of the teams that he's had in the past, that was the expectations of him were not met. And it's been a couple of times that has happened. So, but I think that, you know, he's still out there. He still has an opportunity to create a new narrative. So as long as that's the case, because he is a coach that's going to always be in that playoff realm. He's going to be around in that circle. So it's just a matter of when you get to the playoffs, learning from your mistakes in the past and being able to correct those and have your team be successful. I think this year, you know, he had the injuries. You're losing your main guy, one of your two main guys. You're not going to be able to overcome that. So, you know, this year is what it is. You know, unfortunately, with Dane going down like that, it's going to be tough to win any game in this series.
Hey, Walt, do the Celtics or do the Knicks or Pistons have any shot against the Celtics, and do the Pacers have any shot against the Cavs?
Oh man, I think the Pacers have a better shot against the Cavs. Maybe the Pacers in their depth, and when you got a guy like Halliburton who makes guys better, you know, he elevates everyone. So these guys can catch a heater and get into a flow, and they're solid on the defensive end. But I tell you what, the Cavs, man, they have been looking incredible, especially Donovan Mitchell. Offensively, what he's able to do, Hunter and Jerome, they provide some depth there. And Cleveland, also, they are sensational on the defensive end. So I think the Pacers may have a chance, but I think the Cavs are going to get that one. In terms of the Celtics, I think the Knicks probably have a better chance when you're talking about Brunson. He's a guy that can take over games. So when you have that element and you keeping the game close. Also, you have a guy you added, Towns, to the equation, who can take over games down the stretch as well. So I think it's and what the Knicks can do on the defensive end, they are a physical team. So they give themselves a chance. But, I mean, the Celtics won the championship last year, and then now you have Porzingis that's a bit more healthy that you add to the equation. So, you know, the Celtics are a tough out. You're talking about four losses. That's a tough one.
All right, Walt, Orioles lose again 15-3. I'm going to need a stiff belt with a vodka chaser there. What am I drinking here?
The smoothest vodka on the market, brother. You know, premium, affordable prices. The Clutch Vodka is gluten-free and no sugar carbs. We organically filter it. And so I give you that smooth taste for any evening, just relaxing. So visit us on our website, www.clutchspirits.com, to find out what local establishments carry Clutch Vodka near you.
Vodka, always good with a nice cup of cranberry or orange juice in this world, probably both at the same time. Walt Waves, Lakers stay alive tonight or the Rockets stay alive? What team down 3-1 at home stays alive? We'll be talking about them next week. Real quick.
I'm going to go with the Lakers. I think they survive one more game before it's over.
The Wizard, Walt Waves.
I think the Warriors ends it tonight.
The Wizard, Walt Williams. Walt, always great to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of the night games, and we'll talk to you next week sometime.
All right, brother.
There he is, Walt Williams, the great Walt Williams. We'll come back, reset the program, take a phone call, get to the funhouse. Then news from the Nets coming up at noon. Talk about the Ravens here as rookie minicamp comes up this weekend. We'll count some midweek money, hopefully 12:15 with buy or sell. And Jim Hunter's going to be joining us. Yikes, last night was bad. It was over in the first inning for all intents and purposes. Can the Orioles turn it around with the way the roster is put together now? Would be nice. And another draft profile coming your way also. But let's get back to the phones where we talked to Nolan. And let's go to PT in Towson. PT, how you feeling there, buddy?
I was hurting. Let me tell you something. I was in the closet yesterday after the second inning. My wife's like, "Hun, don't go there. You got to go to the bathroom two doors to the left." So, but I pulled it together. And all respect to Ray, because I know we're all frustrated, but it's not fight, you know, that's the issue. And Bob, you know, I can explain to you why, right? I mean, if somebody that looked like Ken Griffey Jr., you know, just looked like him, right? Bumped into you in a bar. Mike Mussina, a guy like that bumps into you in a bar. You've been in a couple bars, right? Derek Jeter, A-Rod, they bump into you, right? You're not, you know, these guys aren't big fighters. They're not, you know, this, that, and the other. It's not fight, man. It's baseball. We do not have, you know, five. I admit it. You know, we don't have five starting pitchers. But Sugano, Povich, and Kramer are major league starting pitchers. And in a few months, we're going to have other guys. I just don't see where – I agree with the panic, and I agree with what you're saying with the offense. But these guys, without a doubt, I'd bet every penny – well, which isn't much, but I'd bet every penny I have that these guys are going to bounce back to their career numbers. Wouldn't you?
I know you keep saying that, but Adley Rutschman, since July, since the All-Star break, has been a below-average offense and defensive performer. When's he bouncing back? And last year, we're like, well, he's banged up, even though he didn't admit it. He was hurt. It was back, his hand. And he took a foul ball over the weekend in Detroit. We get all that. But when's he bouncing back? I mean, Gunner, he looks like a guy that would rather go to a root canal than play baseball. I mean, granted, there was a velocity level to it. He dropped the line drive right in the glove, and he hit the frustration homer, as Ben McDonald called it, onto the flag court. But when's all this going to start happening? And you're not going to have Westberg anytime soon dealing with the hamstring. And Brandon Hyde again brought up that Toronto series where he got banged up there. And I guess it's been something that's lingered just when it seemed as though he was coming out of his funk just a little bit. So my question to you, PT, is when's this going to happen?
Well, I think it's going to end. I'm glad you asked. And in the coming weeks, with Colton Cowser in the lineup over the last 162, we're 92-70. Cowser's going to be back in the lineup in 3, maybe 4 weeks. Westbrook's got, I agree.
I don't know. And he's on the 60-day DL right now, or IL, excuse me, Calzier.
Right. So it's 4-5 weeks tops, right? He's going to be back. Westbrook's going to be back. I mean, look, they need one starting pitcher out of Morton, Gibson, Rogers, Young, and Bradish. You don't think we're going to be able to pull one, you know, starting pitcher out of that group? I think we will.
Well, PT, I appreciate the call and certainly love the optimism. And I'd love nothing better than me, Nolan, and Vinny carry you around like Hank Stram in Super Bowl IV. If that happens. But boy, you're like overly optimistic. You got others want to just whack everyone involved with the team. We had a guy yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, Nolan, wanted to fire everyone in the dugout. You're all fired. I don't know if that's going to be realistic, but sooner or later, it's on the players. And as I said in the opening segment, all right, you're down 5-0. That sucks. Hey, you still got a hit. What, you don't want to go 3-for-4 just for your own satisfaction? And I know Nestor Cortez. Carl, they traded him for Williams. Rodon was tough, et cetera, but, you know, have a little pride. Still got to grab a bat, go up there and swing it.
Right. It does seem to be a little bit mental. You know, you get behind early and they just aren't willing to tap back into that mentality that they've had.
Just forfeit the game?
Well, hey, Buck Showalter used to say that. Like, late inning, you get mad at the team running up the score, say, oh, yeah, hey, if you want to end the game right now, we'll call it.
Yeah.
Save everyone's arm. But look, at a certain point, it's not early anymore, right? We're here at the end of April, right? That's a plenty sample size, at least speak for myself. And it's a bottom five record in all of baseball. You have to dig yourself out of a hole. It's not like they're a 500 team that, okay, if we just turn it on, if we get these couple guys back or these guys start performing to their previous career highs, then we can take off. Well, you got to first get back to 500, and that's a battle in and of itself. So we don't have the luxury of waiting. And if it does come time for the deadline, right, and we were saying, hey, we'd love to add pitching at the deadline, add reinforcements, are they even going to be competitive at the deadline? At this point, it doesn't look like they're even going to make it to July
and what are you
be
willing,
in contention.
What are you willing to sacrifice to get pitching, keeping in mind that every other team in baseball that's right. The Dodgers have how many guys on the IL?
Mm-hmm.
Pitchers? They rocked Alcantara last night, who's probably going to be available. But how long are we holding this Kobe Mayo bullet? You know what I mean?
Well, the problem is, you know, if you're not realistically in it, you trade for a pitcher. What difference does that make? I mean, we need the pitching reinforcements, but that really only does you good if you're like a fringe wildcard team.
Eplin's a free agent after this year, right? Morton, mm-hmm. Sagano.
Mm-hmm.
You're losing Soto, Dominguez. They're all free agents. Cedric Mullins is a free agent. You have a lot of expiring contracts coming up. So, yeah, if you're not sniffing 500 at the trade deadline, which keeps you in the wildcard conversations, I mean, how bad were the Tigers at the trade deadline last year?
They were sellers.
Yeah, they wound up making the playoffs. I don't know.
Now, if there
but
was...
they stink right now, let's be honest.
To your point, like when they traded for Eflin last year, they had that extra year of control. If you could get your hands on somebody then, right. But again, you're paying a premium price, I think you'd probably rather just defer to the offseason where the asking price sort of goes down a little bit. But again, if the right offer's there and a guy's got multiple years, then sure, jump on it, even if this year is a lost cause.
Yeah, you want to bust a move on a Dylan Cease? Why? He's a free agent after this season.
Mm-hmm. That does you no good.
Yeah, and the Padres are kind of one of the best teams in baseball right now. They're in a dilemma. Three of their last four, and the month's not over, and unless tonight's win counts for 10, they're going to finish with a losing record for the third time in their last four completed months, and they're worse now than they were when they lost in the playoffs. I don't know what else to say. I take the pain just like everybody else. Couldn't get out of Lot A. They were down 3-0. And that was less than 5 minutes. News from the Nest next.